Imagine a band that included Wayne Shorter and both of the Brecker brothers, Michael and Randy. There's Steve Gadd on drums, or on a different day, Jeff Porcaro. Maybe Don Gralnick or Joe Sample on keyboards. Take your pick. And then add in Lee Ritenour and Larry Carlton. You'd think to yourself, that's one of the best jazz combos I've ever heard of. Any combination of these guys would make you think that. Those are the guys Donald Fagen and Walter Becker convinced to forsake jazz just for a little while and play some rock and roll. That was the brilliance behind Steely Dan. Fagen and Becker were schoolmates at Bard College in New York in the late 1960s, where they reportedly listened to jazz, soul, and R&B records more than they actually studied. At least one of us in this room can plead guilty to that as well. And they also played in various bands around their college town, Annandale on the Hudson, one called Leather Canary, featuring a young Chevy Chase on drums. Before leaving school, Fagen graduated, Becker did not, and headed to New York City intent on becoming professional songwriters. When that didn't work out, they moved to Los Angeles and formed a band with guitarists Denny Diaz and Jeff Skunk Baxter that they named after a certain sexual appliance from William S. Burroughs' novel Naked Lunch. That version of the band made a classic album called Can't Buy a Thrill, and then one by one, all the other members moved on. By the time they had made their fourth album, Katie Lied, the formula of Fagen and Becker writing songs, hiring only the best studio musicians, and producing their records with painstaking detail was in place. The result of that work is some of the most recognizable, intelligent, and enduring music of the rock era. That they are among the favorites of classic rock radio is nothing short of astonishing. Fagen and Becker were, Fagen's still alive, but Walter Becker passed away in 2017. At best, they were professorial and erudite. At worst, they could be snobby elitists. Neither ever really claimed to love rock and roll, and their music reflects that. It has rock and roll sensibilities, and there was usually a rock framework, but the substance of those songs and the body of their work is made up of soul, blues, R&B, and copious doses of jazz. The fact that they were able to recruit some of the biggest jazz musicians of their age to play on their records speaks volumes to the approach Becker and Fagen took in their music. Tonight, on the anniversary of the release of their most successful album, we take a deep dive into the world of Fagen and Becker, one that looks very much like a recording studio covered in shag carpeting with very low light and the indistinguishable aroma of what they called the fine Colombian hanging in the air. Tonight, we are going to groove to the music of Steely Dan. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is The Weekly List. Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080, 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of The Weekly List. I missed you last week, man.
I know. It was weird. I just got it just off the side. Have you had a lot of coffee tonight? Because that was like really, really quick just now. Your voice was going, and we're listening to Steely Dan, man.
That's true. That's true. I need to do the 1970s
gotta,
FM.
Yeah,
thing.
You just gotta kind of chill.
That All right. was. That Are you, was see better. That, welcome to another edition.
Yeah.
Of the Weekly List.
Beautiful
man.
Downtown.
Yeah.
Northfield.
This joke has gone on too long.
Yeah, this has gone. Okay. So yeah, no, it was weird. I was, you know, working at the Twins, and I'm going to be working at the Twins next week too. So, you know, but you're going to do I'm not going to say anything about it because I'm really super digging on it.
Well, I've now had like a month to work on this thing, so I hope it's ready.
It'll be perfect.
Folks, yeah, I apologize for having to run a repeat last week, but I'm just going to say this. We got other things to talk about. But I used to do the show all by myself, and it was a tremendous amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
Having you come on board to do this show with me, I used to say had cut the amount of work I have to do in half. No, it cut the amount of work I have to do by like 80%. Right?
So you're saying that I'm just coming here and I just come here and screw around, you know? So
no, dude,
it's like cartoon hour to me.
You do more heavy lifting than you think you do.
And you know, my ex-wife would never have said that.
Yes, I know this. Anyway, so today is Thursday, September 23rd.
Yep.
It is the 45th, 44th anniversary of the release of Asia by Steely Dan.
Right, 1977.
September 23rd, 1977. Yeah.
Fantastic record. Ooh. Oh, wow. Ooh. I mean, that's...
Sonic Marvel. I was going to say spectacle, but it's not quite.
It's not a spectacle, but that thing is solid.
Like it is. There's no other album that's quite as meticulous as Asia.
Well, and here's one of the things. I mean, you mentioned in your intro the number of people that played with Steely Dan over the years.
Yeah.
I could have come up with an alternate list of all the people that you did not mention.
I didn't mention Bernard Purdy.
You didn't mention Purdy. You didn't mention David Sanborn. You didn't mention Michael McDonald.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You didn't mention Steve Kahn?
I did mention Steve Kahn.
Oh, you did?
Oh, did I? No, I did not.
No, you did not.
I tried to, but it just didn't work out.
So, I mean, the amount of talent that Becker and Fagen put through on their records. And this is a band that I think it's probably urban legend, but I like to believe it is true that they did 1,000 takes just to get a cymbal hit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm willing to believe that. Like they would spend there is like documentation of Jimmy Iovine and Tom Petty when they were working on, Damn the Torpedoes.
Yeah,
like
I was gonna...
spending like 6 days trying to get the drum sound right, right?
Right.
Which drove Stan Lynch nuts, and like he hung on to it for 10 years and then he left the band.
Right.
Right. But like to me, that sounds like something Steely Dan would have done on a very regular basis, and maybe like they would have looked at 6 days. Are you even trying?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know?
Here's the thing that people don't understand when it comes. People think that a band just goes into the studio, you throw up a bunch of mics, and you go, all right, 1, 2, 3, go. And they do maybe 4 takes, and then you pick the best of them. No, kids, it does not work
like
that.
Well, that's the way it worked in 1948.
Yeah. But in order to get certain sounds, you can spend forever trying to. The type of microphone that you use in recording, how it's placed, where it's placed, how close it is.
Yeah.
Do you put the drums facing a corner and then how you mic that? It changes the sound in every conceivable way. How tight do you keep the drum heads on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how tight do you have it? And I'm not just talking about in tune. I'm just talking about the tense, the tension on the skin.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're listening to a record, when you're listening to something in your car, please understand that it might be for you something that gets you from point A to point B, but for an artist, for a musician, for a real audiophile, there are so many decisions that are made into that just to get it to sound like it does through your radio
now,
on a car.
But that's also the kind of indulgence that only a certain level of musicians have, because studio time is expensive.
Oh, it's incredibly expensive.
Right,
and musicians I mean, you get
somebody, don't have any money.
Well, no. But session players, you get somebody like a Picaro, you're playing double union scale. So he's expensive. There's union scale, which is like, okay, standard.
Yep.
And you get guys like that who's like double scale or triple scale.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it.
Yeah.
You know, 30 minutes is going to cost you what a house payment might be.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, so, yeah, these guys, they were to say they were perfectionists was, but at the same time, I mean, the thing that I think is so cool about the way they worked is that they did this together, and the band ran its course, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it
but
did.
Like they never got sick of each other. They never had a falling out. Walter Becker, really, the band fell apart because Walter Becker had a drug habit.
Right.
But like, as far as just like there were never like artistic differences.
No. It, the thing that was interesting is Becker and Fagan would think so similarly on stuff. And it's interesting. And I hate to say this because the set list that we've got tonight is a solid set list. Mm-hmm. I really love this and I love listening to it. But the thing that I noticed, we didn't include anything from Two Against Nature.
Nope.
Which won Grammy for Album of the Year.
Yeah, well, that
it was,
it
was not their best record.
Yeah, no.
I actually liked the Everything Must Go, their last
there's
album.
Nothing,
I like that
there
one
is
better.
Nothing on this show that came out after 1980.
Right.
Yes.
And I almost put the song Everything Must Go on here because I thought,
just because, let's push a button and watch Rich's head explode.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be part of it. I love that song. I love the whole record.
For the first time in my life today, I actually heard something post 1980 by Steely Dan.
Are you serious?
I haven't listened to any of that stuff.
Okay. But I love the Everything Must Go. So, you know, my advice is go out and listen to it. If you dig this stuff, you really have to hear this groundwork before you're ready for Everything Must Go.
Anyway, right. First song we heard tonight was Do It Again, which was the which actually was the way that the world was introduced to Steely Dan. I think it's the first single.
I think it was, and
it's the first song on their first album, "Can't Buy a Thrill."
Right.
This is the David Palmer. What was the drummer's name? The drummer's the guy who sang "Midnight Cruiser." We'll come back to that later. Jeff Skunk Baxter, Danny Diaz. This was that version of the band,
right? When it was actually seen as like, hey, kind we're of a band, and we're
right,
actually
yeah.
equal members.
Yeah. Well, and Becker and Fagan would just sort of snicker at each other about it. But,
right.
There's a lot on that album. I love that album, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot on that album that you would not consider Steely Dan. Like, it doesn't sound like a Steely Dan song.
Yeah. And really, those first two records, which are going to be Can't Buy a Thrill and then
Countdown
to Ecstasy. I got to be honest with you. This is not... I don't really like those records.
I love Can't Buy a Thrill.
Yeah.
I think Can't Buy a Thrill is a great album.
There's a lot of great stuff on it. I will say that.
Dirty Work. The song Dirty Work was originally on... this set, and I decided to trade it out.
Thank you for doing that.
And you know what? I didn't mean to push the button and watch your head explode.
Yeah, you kinda did.
But it did. So okay, let's undo that. But
don't like that song.
I really like that song. It's a song.
Look, you're not perfect. You know.
Let that go. It's a song that I really loved, but had no idea who it was for the longest time.
Well, because it's not Fagan singing; it's David Palmer.
Right, and like it was it, like I didn't know that was on the album until I bought my first copy of Can't Buy a Thrill.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So moving on.
I don't own a copy of Can't Buy a Thrill.
You want to borrow mine?
No.
Okay.
I'm fine.
I got the streaming things.
Okay.
Moving on.
Okay.
We come to the album that inspired the show tonight.
Asia. And this is probably one of my favorite songs. This is Peg, of course. Just love this record.
I know you're very fond of the name, too.
Yeah, I love the name. Yeah. So anyhow, we're going to go into some of the finest stuff of Steely Dan, digging right in. And so from 1977's...
Let's mention that this is a song that might be the most obvious use of Michael McDonald.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's, you know, he's on other songs that
we're
going to play.
Yeah,
but you can totally
pick out Michael McDonald's voice.
Exactly.
In this one. Yeah.
But this is a song that's got such a great groove. The sound of it, it's got some really unique chordal structures.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I just, you know, your favorite foreign movie. I just I love the words because they're so much fun.
Right.
So anyhow, this is from Asia, 1977. This is Peg, and I'm sending this one out to my friend, Peg.
on 95.1 KYMN, The Danny.
I like your pain.
From 1974, the album Katie Lied. That was Black Friday, a song that Danny likes a lot more than I do.
I love that. I mean, that's my boy, Jeff Beccaro, on drums. He played Katie Lied.
This actually, that's a really interesting point,
mm-hmm.
because I'm listening to that, and we were just listening to the and kind of talking about how I don't think it's their best
right.
work, and it's you love the groove.
I absolutely love groove.
I don't think it's a good groove, but it's not a great groove. And let me tell you something: if Jeff Beccaro is the guy playing on drums, then he's being wasted on that, song. No, he is.
Now you've backed me into a corner, and I can't totally disagree with you. The thing about Steely Dan is, I liked a lot of funk when I was listening as a kid. You know, growing up in Virginia, you hear funk. You can't help it.
I grew up in Minneapolis. I know a little something about funk.
You do know something about funk. I'm not dissing you on this, but
in fact, I would go so far as to say Minneapolis probably had a little more funk than Virginia Beach.
Okay, I'm taking a deep breath. Minneapolis is kind of funky town, USA. I will say that it is. At There's a song, Lips Incorporated.
Oh yeah, but that's a.
I know
yeah.
it's a. So okay. Anyhow, the thing about it, Steely Dan is not really known for having a dirty groove.
No, and that's a problem for me.
That is, I can see that because it's Black Friday has got a great solid rock groove, and I think that's Beccaro that makes it more of a rock groove, even with his own whole thing. But there's not a real dirtiness to it. There's not. And where I think a lot of the dirtiness is going to come from is going to be how the bass is approaching it. How is the guitar? There's not a real ragged kind of guitar thing that's happening, because there's no way Steely Dan is ever going to have really ragged guitars.
Although there are some moments here.
There's
there.
Some here and there, but you know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm talking about something that I can't quite put my finger on, but it's that. And then at the same time, Donald Fagen doesn't sing with that whole.
No, Donald Fagen is not a great singer.
No,
there's not.
But he serves the song.
He serves the song, because he wrote the song. But like, he's not like Michael McDonald, who you know, mm-hmm. That's a man who emotes when he sings.
Right.
Like, Donald Fagen doesn't emote. Right.
No.
And also, there's not a lot of. I mean, and I can't criticize him too much because I have the same issue. There's not a lot of vibrato,
no,
in Donald Fagen's voice, so it tends to be not flat, but I don't know what the word for it is, because it's flat, but it's not like tonally flat.
Right.
It just kind of
sits there.
Yeah. Exactly.
I guess Steely Dan, I think, is regarded very much as a quote unquote hip band, and I think some of that is there's a little bit of an emotional detachment between the players, and by the players, I'm talking specifically about Fagen and Becker, but mm-hmm. specifically Fagen. There's a certain amount of emotional detachment
yeah.
from the music, and I think that plays into what you're saying about the no vibrato, how his sound kind of,
right.
his
and,
vocals
and,
sound
and,
a certain
and,
way.
And, you know, the music is so produced, and I wouldn't say overproduced, but
it's meticulous.
But it is sometimes so clean that it's antiseptic.
Yeah, no, I would agree, and that's why Black Friday, as much as I like it, it's not a nasty groove. It's not.
No.
I mean, you know, think about "Nasty" by Janet Jackson. That's not the feel on this groove.
No,
it's not.
No,
you
no.
Know?
Well, anyway,
and that "Nasty" also performed and written in Minneapolis. I'm just gonna.
That's true.
You want me to suck up some more to you?
No, I really don't. It makes me super uncomfortable. So, talking about something that is produced to within an inch of his life and very, very clean. We were debating before the show started, what is the Steely Danniest of all Steely Danny songs? I had one answer. You had another. Yours was Hey 19, and
yes.
I can't really argue with this.
No, and I can't argue with yours either when we come down to it.
Yeah.
Hey 19, man, you want to talk about a conflicted little song. what was it? We were kind of throwing down the scenarios. Middle-aged man, say...
With a young girlfriend.
Right. So you're kind of looking at me like, okay, Dan, you know, you're going to meet a 19-year-old girl, and she's not going to know who Aretha Franklin is, and she's going to blow your head
off.
You're
going to meet a 19-year-old girl, and she's not going to know who Billy Joel is.
Oh, my God.
I promise you that's going to happen because I have now had this experience. I work with young kids I work with younger people at Imminent Brewing, and there is a, like, not even millennials, but like Gen Z. There is, like, for Gen Z, I swear to God, musically, if it didn't happen before 1990 or even before, like, if it happened in the 20th century, then it really didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're dealing with.
You know, I was talking to a mutual friend of ours just today, actually, and she had made a very astute observation.
Otis. Okay.
No, it wasn't Otis.
Okay.
But what this person had said is that, you know, every age has its level of plastic, you know, as part of the culture.
Mm.
And sadly, right now, the plastic in our culture is our music.
You're the guy who's listening to it. So,
oh, I know. I'm kind of working my way through that. And at the same time, I can kind of go, kind of see where that's coming from,
but,
too.
I wouldn't say everything is plastic.
No, not everything. It's a generalized statement. I mean, in the 1980s, you could almost say that our fashion sense was the plastic part.
Oh, and the hair.
And the hair.
The
flock of seagulls.
The plastic bangs.
Yeah.
Like you know, you put the bang with a curl. And
every generation has to deal with their plastic.
Yes, we all have to look back and think, what were we thinking?
I've seen some photographs recently, and I've gone, what the hell?
Yeah, you were really skinny. From 1980, and the album Gaucho, this is K19, a 95.1 KYMN.
Young and weary,
So that was from 1976. That's from the Royal Scam. That was Haitian Divorce. That was one of your songs.
Yeah.
And I just told you what that song's about.
Right.
Yeah.
I've always been kind of like, okay, we talk about Steely Dan. That is reggae-ish. That is not a reggae song.
No, it's not a reggae song. You know, there's a reggae beat to it.
There's a reggae feel to it.
There's a reggae
You know,
groove.
A sanitized for your protection feel. And I
reggae for your pleasure.
That song, I've always liked the melody and I like the feel of it, but I've never really gotten into what the story is on that, really. Yeah. And you were explaining it very well to me. A Haitian divorce is kind of like the opposite of a Vegas quickie marriage.
Right, right. I don't know if it's still the case, but back in the 70s, you could go to Haiti, and if you were married, you could go to Haiti, and only one of you had to be present and get divorced in like 2 hours. And,
wow.
And like just come home and say, hey, babe, by the way, we're not married anymore. And that was that. So this is about a woman. This song is about a woman who goes to Haiti, gets her divorce, sleeps with one of the locals, comes home pregnant.
That, you know, I think at that point, coming home, the guy is probably going to want to get divorced here as well at the same time with that scenario. I'm taking a guess. It's not a good situation.
Yeah. All right. We're just going to move on because this next song is one of my favorite Steely Dan songs.
Pretzel Logic.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's probably the bluesiest of all the songs.
Well, and
this
is okay, so the last song was like faux reggae. This is kind of like faux blues because it follows the form. This is not...
It's not a blues song.
No, it's not. But
by no stretch of the imagination is it a blues song, but it's got a blues structure to it.
Yes, it's got the standard structure.
And Donald Fagen is not a blues singer.
No, he is not.
But it's a great song.
Yeah, it is. You know, I like the whole thing about Napoleon especially.
Do you know what this song's about?
No, please elucidate me on this.
Time travel.
It's about time travel?
Time travel. I'd like to travel to South End in a traveling minstrel show. I'd love to meet Napoleon, but I can't, if I can ever find the time or whatever it is. The platform, I stepped upon the platform and the man said, what's up with your shoes? The platform is the time machine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah, you're right, Rich. I got to stop getting into just the groove and start really. Yeah, you're
well,
right.
Well, I need to pay more attention to more than just the melody and the words. But I'm a writer and a sap, so that's what I listen to. From 1973 in the Pretzel Logic album, this is the title track, Steely Dan with Pretzel Logic, and 95.1 KYMN,
the Ooksie.
platform, the man gave me the news. He said, "You must be joking, son. Where did you get those shoes? Where did you get those shoes?" Well, I've seen them on the TV, the movie show. They say the times are changing, but I just don't know. Yeah.
From the Gaucho album, and that actually was a song that charted in 1981. It was their final charting single, Steely Dan. That was Time Out of Mind. We were just talking earlier about what is the Steely Danniest of all Steely Danny songs. Mm-hmm. That one is a great example of what Steely Dan sounds like. And it's clean.
It's sterile, but it's not. Clean,
but it's just perfect.
Yeah, it's
like the horns are just, I mean, they're just right exactly where they're supposed to be at the perfect levels, and I really love the that is a good Donald Fagen vocal performance.
Yeah, it
too.
Is. It's really good.
You know, and the background vocals on that and the harmony. Oh,
here's right. Okay. So I was listening to this song over the past few days, you know, because this was one of your picks.
Yes, it was.
And so
as a matter of fact, I started putting this show together because I was looking, you know, you look out, right, and you kind of go over what you're going to do and when, and I saw that Asia was the anniversary of Asia was on a Thursday,
right.
So I started actually putting this list together, my part of it, right around Memorial Day, and this was the very first song I put on the list.
So, in other words, you took a very Steely Dan approach to how you assembled this show, you didn't tell anybody.
Which is not an approach I take ever, but I did with this one, yeah.
How appropriate for this one. Okay, so anyhow, I'm listening to this song, Time Out of Mind, over the past few days, and there's something about it that just seemed really familiar. And I'm talking about, I guess, how my ears work. It was about how it felt to me. It's not a copy. It reminded me of the song Taking It to the Streets by the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, okay, I'll roll with that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have the same, there's just something about it that sounds very familiar, very similar.
You don't think for,
and then you know who's background vocals on this?
Yeah, Michael McDonald.
Exactly.
Well, exactly. Like, you don't think Michael McDonald, after all that time he spent with Steely Dan, didn't take some of that to the Doobie Brothers?
Oh, I know. Yeah. And then at the same time, Jeff Skunk Baxter,
right, was a Doobie Brother.
Was
also
a Doobie Brother as well. Yeah. You know, so there's a real link between these two bands, the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan.
There's actually a real link between Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan and the Eagles. Timothy B. Schmidt
is singing
on this. And there's a song later that we're going to play. I think it's later. That Hanley and Fry are actually singing on also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? I love how that stuff works.
And there's the whole thing. They stab it with their Steely knives. So they from Hotel California.
Oh, yeah.
With just a reference to Steely Dan. And then,
and
Donald Fagen wrote something about asking the Eagles. And yeah. Anyway.
All of the background stuff that, you know, only like real nerds like you and I are going to start delving into, but it's true.
Time now for the weekly list Haiku Corner. Brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
Ah, the dulcet tones of Wendy Nordquist. I do love her. She did such a wonderful job with that.
She does. It's just taking me a while to get used to.
You're just really ticked off because I took your job away from you.
Yeah.
You know what?
A little professional jealousy.
You know what?
Just, do your...
She's better at this than you were.
Well, I know that. Just do the damn haikus.
Okay, here we go. We have one, two, three. We have six today. These are all Rich Larson originals.
Well, of course. No, they're haiku rich.
Well, these are all haiku rich originals.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. Here we go. Sophisticated. Soulful. Melodic. So smart. Not just a dildo.
And you threatened to keep my mic off. That was probably would have been helpful.
Right. Yep. His name is Skunk. He was a Doobie Brother. Now he sells missiles.
That's true. That's true.
Well, I don't know if he actually sells them, but he's a military consultant.
Yeah. He builds missiles.
He's a weapons consultant. It's just. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Michael McDonald was a quasi member, too. They made his voice fit. A guitar solo. Pick any player you want. Larry Carlton.
Yeah.
That music moves me. like a love 20 years old, like it's a secret.
Ah.
Fagan and Becker, those days are gone forever. Cheers with Cuervo Gold.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, you summed that up.
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Eminent.
I just love that the outro is a haiku.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I wish you felt better about that because
I'm so happy with it.
I'm so happy with that.
I can tell. Well,
we're happy for you, Rich.
We're happy for you, Rich.
You know what? Whatever. You know,
great.
Get your own show.
Well, that's a fair play.
We're working on it, right?
Yeah. I gotta get baseball season over.
Yes, you do. I want to thank Lauren Derek Myers for making the weekly list possible. They make the list every possible, every week, every possible. They make every possible possible.
They make every week possible here on this radio show.
Because they sponsor the show, therefore they make the weekly list possible.
Right.
Okay.
And therefore, does that mean they're responsible for Haiku Corner?
If Lauren and Derek want to take credit for Haiku Corner, I'll let them. That's fine. Yeah. You know, if you want to take credit for Haiku Corner, I'll let you.
Oh no, this is all you. Anyhow, just tell me about Imminent. That's the important stuff.
We always start the shows by talking about what's happening with COVID restrictions, and I know you're sick of hearing about it because God knows I'm sick of talking about it. But you know, it's still out there. The pandemic's still there. It might now. This is interesting. It might not be a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but it is still a pandemic. Danny, I heard someone the other day call this a cultural pandemic now.
Oh,
which
that's
I
an
thought
interesting
was,
concept.
I thought it was accurate.
Cultural pandemic. I can see that because it's yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to do a Southern Culture on the Skids show, I think. Anyway, Imminent Brewing believes in social responsibility. How's that for a segue?
That's pretty good.
So if you have been vaccinated, you're not required to wear a mask, but it is strongly encouraged. If you have been vaccinated, well, you're still not required to wear a mask, but it is strongly encouraged. I am fully vaccinated, but I continue to wear a mask behind the bar because I know I can still contract the virus and I know I can still pass it along. So I don't want to make anyone sick. It's that simple. It's something I'm thinking about, something you should think about, something everyone should think about.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
You know what I learned this past week?
No.
I had to go through work, like a town hall meeting where they talked about COVID and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so they answered a lot of questions about COVID and the vaccinations and stuff.
Yeah.
And somebody asked the question of, does the vaccination make you magnetic? I found out that it does not make you magnetic.
No, it does not make you magnetic.
So it yeah.
That is nothing but rumor.
Yes. I just want to publicly debunk that these vaccinations, and I don't care whether it's Moderna or Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson, you will not be magnetic.
When someone asked if the vaccine made you magnetic, were they like giggling when they said it?
No, I think that they were pretty serious. I'm not kidding. You're looking at me like I'm like you're dead. Are you magnetic? Okay, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to make that statement that, you know,
it does not make you magnetic.
Be cool if it did, though.
It would be.
Yeah, sorry,
it would be, but it doesn't.
But, you know, I don't have anything sticking to me yet.
Right, exactly. There's live music this weekend, and not only is there live music, dude, it's the triumphant return of Fred the Bear. Now, you don't know who Fred the Bear is, but Fred the Bear is a local band that is beloved.
It's a name like that, man. A
couple of guys from Northfield, actually now three guys from Northfield and three people from Rochester. They're wonderful. Ray Coudray and Bo Allen from Northfield. My dear friend Jerry Spencer from Rochester. Bob and Beth Kessler. Yeah, Ray and Jerry have said some really nice things to us lately about the show.
Yeah, you know, I know those guys. I mean, I may not know Fred, you know,
Fred the Bear now.
Fred the Bear, but the Ray, players, man.
Ray Coudray and Jerry Spencer. They're good guys.
Oh, good.
As everyone in that band, Bo and Bob and Beth. And I really hope my pal Kurt Johnson is playing with them, too. He's a piano player. He's fantastic.
That sounds like a good night, man.
It's going to be a great night. There are a ton of bands that we love at Imminent, and Fred the Bear is a headliner on that list. And I would like to think, in fact, that you know, we've become sort of one of their home bases to play. Like, you know how, like some bands, they get comfortable in a room,
sure.
So they play a little bit better, or things get looser, so it's a little more fun. I would like to think that Imminent is that kind of, even though they haven't played, it's been doggone near 2 years since they have played at Imminent Brewing. But Saturday night, all that changes.
Good.
Yes. Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m., do not miss it. There are periods after all those words.
So then that's do, period, not, period, miss, period.
Get off my lawn. That kind of thing.
Okay,
except
got it.
Do not miss it. Dragon Squirrel Juicy IPA. Cannon River Pale Ale. Wolf Creek IPA. Prairie Creek Porter, which is what is in your growler.
Is that
now.
What you gave
that's
me?
That's what I got you. Yeah.
Okay.
L'Arnar. Honey Basil Ale. Oktoberfest, which is my personal favorite right now. Double Agent J, double IPA, ? Hill Wheat, Mole Prairie Creek Porter. So
ooh.
If you like a little spice, next time I'll get you that one.
Yeah, maybe that next time, yeah.
And guess what?
I don't know.
The Quick and the Red is back. It's the return of the king. It's the deliciously hoppy red IPA that has been an Imminent stalwart since we opened our doors, and it's been gone for a while. And now it's back.
The Quick and the Red.
The Quick and the Red.
That's kind of a play on the Clint Eastwood thing, isn't it?
Actually, I don't know. Well,
was it? It was Eastwood.
It's Sharon Stone. It's a Sharon Stone movie.
The Quick and the Dead?
The Quick and the Dead.
Okay.
Yeah. Food trucks this week. El Jefe from the Twin Cities is there tomorrow. Saturday, it's Uncle B's Last Chance Barbecue Shack. Sunday, yet to be determined, but there'll be something. You know, they'll figure it out. Imminent Brewing is open 4 to 9 on Thursdays. 4 to 9 on Fridays, 2 to 9 on Saturdays. I will be there this coming Saturday to watch Fred the Bear.
Of course.
And 2 to 7 on Sundays. And for all the information you need, visit imminentbrewing.com.
Ah, oh, beautiful, man. You know, and we're starting to move into some of those beautiful days. We actually record this on Wednesday.
Yes,
so today, Wednesday, September 22nd, which is actually my brother Nate's 50th
Happy
birthday,
Nate.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
It's amazing to have a younger brother who's now older than me,
which is
strange. I mean,
yeah, that is weird. He
I mean,
you.
Pretzel logic right
yeah,
there.
Right,
I mean,
right,
you
exactly.
know, go figure that.
I've known your brother since he was 19 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've never been particularly close, but we're buddies. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm very fond of your brother, and I've known him for 31 years.
He's a dangerous dude.
He is.
He actually has a book coming out in March.
No kid. Yeah. And he's a PhD these days, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Dr. Nate.
Dr. Nate. Well, which is funny because the next song.
Are you with me, Dr. Nate, or are you merely just a shadow of the man that you once hate or something?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, thank you.
You're talking, of course, of the song Dr. Wu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Katie Lies. You can see it in her eyes.
Yes. Also from Katie Lie.
This is from Katie Lie. You ever wondered what the bug is on the cover of...
Isn't that a praying mantis?
It's a katydid.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, got it. I got it.
Yeah. I watched that whole thing.
Did you watch that kind of go
I
in my face? It's like, oh, yeah, Katie Lie. Yeah.
Oh, I get
clever.
It.
Wow, they meant to do that. Again, I suck.
Oh,
I'm not that
God.
Visual
you
of a
do
person,
not.
I guess.
You are wonderful. We love you. From 1975, this is Dr. Wu.
This is the show that humbles me.
I'm 95.1 KYMN.
Katie tried, I was halfway crucified. I was on the other side of no tomorrow. You walked in and my life began again. Just when I'd spent the last piaster I could borrow. All night long, we would sing that stupid song, and every word we sang.
the taste you said you'd bring to me. Biscayne Bay, where the Cuban gentlemen sleep all day. I went searching for the song you used to sing. We'll be right back.
From the Royal Scam. That was Kid Charlemagne featuring an inspired guitar work from Larry Carlton on that track.
I love the tone on Larry Carlton's guitar. That's the thing I love most. I saw Larry Carlton.
Did you really?
Yeah, many years ago. With playing with a double bill with Robin Ford. It was
at the
Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul, which is a tiny theater.
I've seen a couple shows there. I saw the Weepies there.
Oh, cool. Anyway, Danny, tell me about Larry Carlton.
Larry Carlton is one of these, you know the term smooth jazz, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that gets a maligned thing.
It does.
He is a prime practitioner of that kind of sound. He exists largely as a solo guy, but he's also a studio musician, so he falls under that whole Steve Lukather, Michael Landau, all those kinds of cats and stuff.
Except he's better than all of those guys.
Well, better is kind of a pejorative thing. Sure. He's just himself.
Yes, he is.
Now, the solo in Kid Charlemagne, there have been a number of rock critics that I've read that have said that guitar solo is the greatest guitar solo ever done in recorded rock music.
And it was done by a jazz guitar player.
Now, personally, I don't technically agree with that. I don't know. I like to view that the best guitar solo has not yet been played.
The best guitar solo is the next one?
Yes. Yeah. It's, you know, it's always going to be what's out there. But I'll tell you, his work on Kid Charlemagne was incredible.
Yes.
Absolutely incredible. And this is a guy that has a long and storied career. He's played with Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
He's of course, worked with Steely Dan. He was one of the members of the Crusaders.
Yep.
Right now, he replaced in Foreplay.
Lee Ritenour.
Yeah, he replaced Lee Ritenour.
Also has played with Steely Dan.
Exactly. And Foreplay is just one of these bands that I really, really love. I mean, you've got Nathan East on bass. You got Harvey Mason on drums. You got Bob James on keyboards. And now you got Larry Carlton as their guitarist.
Not bad.
Not a bad little group.
Nathan East is one of my all-time favorite bass players.
Oh,
and I frankly, I know him best from the work he's done with Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
But
dude is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah.
So anyhow, Larry Carlton, I was just doing a little bit of looking up. He started playing professionally and on record in 1962. So next year, 2022, will mark his 60th anniversary.
That's pretty good.
As an artist.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, really, when you work that out.
Yeah. You know, people talk about how Kid Charlemagne is the best guitar solo ever, mm-hmm. right? His work on Kid Charlemagne is amazing. I think his work on this next song is even better.
Yeah. Don't take me alive.
This is, you know, it's hard for me. There's so many. It's so, like, Time Out of Mind sometimes is my favorite Steely Dan song. Deacon Blues is sometimes my favorite Steely Dan song. Sometimes it's Don't Take Me Alive.
This is a great song. I love that, you know.
Yeah. Okay. We'll just do this. So this is Larry Carlton going to blow your mind.
Once again.
Off the Royal Scam with Don't Take Me Alive at 95.1 KYMN.
Thank you. shake your hand. So glad that you're here again. For one more time, let your madness run with mine. Streets still unseen, we'll find somehow. No time is better than now. Tell me, where are you driving? Midnight cruiser. Where is your bounty of fortune and fame? I am another gentleman loser. Drive me to Harlem or somewhere the same.
Can't Buy a Thrill, 1972. That was Midnight Cruiser. We talked earlier about Can't Buy a Thrill and how there's a couple of songs on there that aren't like don't really sound like Steely Dan songs.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like Donald Fagen at all.
Well, it's not. It's Jim Hodder, the drummer, actually singing on that song. I will make the case, though, that absolutely is a Steely Dan song.
Okay, and I'm going to... I mean, it's not a bad song, but that's not a song that I'd think of when you mentioned Steely Dan.
I love that song.
Okay, so tell us.
And it does
us.
Not, I does not, by and large, does not sound, okay, except so it's absolutely a Steely Dan song because of the very first word in the song.
Okay.
Thelonious.
Well, that's true. Referring to Thelonious Sphere Monk. Sphere meaning, you know, because he didn't want people to think that
well,
he was
like,
a square.
Like, I just, you know, just using the name, like, because no one else is named Thelonious.
Right.
So, right, you know, so just, you know, so therefore that just in and of itself makes it a Steely Dan song.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, I'll give you points on that because anybody who's going to refer to Thelonious Monk, dude, come on. That's not anybody.
Well, folks, that's just going to just about do it here for this, this
so,
edition
right.
of the Weekly List. If you like the show, you can go look us up on the KYMN radio.
It's called a website.
The internet thingy.
It's called a website.
The website.
I think that's what the kids tell
and
me.
And you can stream it right off of our program page on kymnradio.net, where I have all the old shows archived. You can also podcast us. which I am a great proponent of podcasting the show. We don't make any extra money or anything.
No, it's just, you know, it's a different way to hear it.
I just think it's a better, it's an easier way to do it. It's easy to find. You look for the KYMN radio podcast on Google or Spotify or Apple or
Stitcher.
Or Stitcher, or any...
By the way, I'm getting a side hustle where they're paying me money on every time I mention Stitcher.
I hope so. I hope so.
I wish.
I just think podcasts are a great thing. And
well,
so.
Can I tell you a middle-aged thing that I think is cool? Because if I pause it and stop it, and then I go and do something else, and it's like 5 days later, it's right back where it was.
Isn't that cool?
It's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
You know, because all my other stuff, it's like, oh crud, I got to listen to the whole thing again. Get right there.
Right. Or you can listen to us every night on Thursday nights, generally 95.1 KYMN, the one.
Yeah.
Or how else can you hear us?
You can just stream anytime online.
That's the big deal. You know.
So,
however,
there's lots of ways.
But thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And you know, and you can also go find us on Facebook.
That's
because I post every new show every Friday morning on the Facebook page under the weekly list. Right
on the Facebook thingies
on the Book of Faces.
Right, and also, you know who else is on Facebooks? The Imminent People.
Imminent Brewing.
Yeah,
is on the Facebooks.
You should like that. I liked it.
I do.
You know,
I did a long time ago, and you should too. Because Fred the Bear plays at Imminent, and if you're on the Facebook page, you'll know that Fred the Bear is playing. Or next week, when Matt Arthur and the Bratlanders are playing.
Right.
Or the week after that, when the Frothy Band is playing. Or the week after that, when the Zillionaires are playing.
Dude, you're blowing my mind.
I know, man.
I mean, all this stuff with the Facebook and the interwebs and the, you know, the...
Isn't that cool?
The Googler things.
Yeah, I know.
My
God, what a great time to be alive.
Unbelievable. You know, now, okay, so maybe I actually am in that age of 50-something.
You used to live in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, I did.
So that makes you a fan of the Ohio State University.
Yes, the Buckeyes. Absolutely. Scarlet and Gray.
There are
Scarlet
people listening to
that
this
will
show
hate me
right now
death.
That would like to claw your eyes out with their Wolverine claws.
I understand that. The Michigan OSU game is like one for the ages every year. And it's actually, it's the only football game I watch every season. I know you're staring. I'm dead to you, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Ohio
Look,
State.
You can't grow up in Upper Arlington. I used to walk by Woody Hayes' house.
I tell people.
Hey, how's Archie Griffith doing?
When I talk to people about your fandom of OSU, I actually tell people that you used to mow Woody Hayes' lawn.
I never mowed.
But that's what I tell people because it's a better story.
It is
that
a
way.
Better story that way.
Consider adapting that.
Don't let truth get in the way of a good story. Is that what
I
you're saying?
I am all about artistic license, baby. Anyway,
well, you know, time's
the reason,
gone by.
The reason I bring
hits.
This up is because the Ohio State University is the...
Scarlet and gold, Gray?
What's the name of the team?
The Buckeyes.
Right. What's the name of the University of Alabama? Really?
I watch one football game every year.
They call Alabama the Crimson Tide.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Call me Deacon Blues. This
yeah,
is
see,
if
no.
if camp if Don't Take Me Alive isn't my favorite Steely Dan song, or if Time Out of Mind isn't my favorite Steely Dan song, Deacon Blues is
yeah.
my. And that you asked me what's the Steely Danniest of all the Steely Dan songs, and this was the first song out of my mouth.
You know, and I mean, I'm playing dumb here on some of this football stuff to set that up, but in all seriousness.
Right.
But Deacon Blue is one of those songs that is quintessential Steely Dan
this
in my
is.
Mind. It is quintessential. You may not have heard of them. There's a Scottish band called Deacon Blue.
I have heard of them.
Yeah, they're a fantastic band. I remember hearing them in the late 80s. They had a song called Real Gone Kid.
Okay.
And that whole band, I mean, they based themselves off of
That's pretty
this.
Good.
And there's so many stuff like that. There's another band called China Crisis that I absolutely
yeah.
love. And they have an album called Flaunt the Imperfection that was produced by Walter Becker.
Sure.
And if China Crisis does not sound like Steely Dan Jr., it's important to talk about Steely Dan in terms of their influence on so many other things, whether it's China Crisis, whether it's the name of a pop band from
right.
Scotland.
Right.
I mean, they don't, Deacon Blue does not sound at all like Steely Dan, but right. there's enough of the influence, there's enough of the melodic and the smart lyricism. And there's kind of this hip thing about Steely Dan where there's a detached intelligence.
Wow. Well.
And
there's also that's just a tribute thing. The Rolling Stones named themselves after a Muddy Waters song,
right? Yeah, but yeah. but the Rolling Stones, you know, there's a bit of a blues thing with them that they're based
well,
on
that's
too.
That's true.
But Steely Dan, as a songwriting entity and a sound entity, had so much influence, and their lyrics are intense. They're deep. They're thoughtful. This is a band that's intelligent. This is a band that's well read.
Yeah,
and I mean. It's a shame that they don't really exist in the same way anymore, but that's just the passing of time too.
Well,
but their influence lives on.
Yes.
And you know, you don't have FM radio in my mind in the '70s and early '80s without Steely Dan.
Well, you would have it, but it wouldn't be anywhere near as interesting.
No. And I'm talking about the late night stuff.
Right.
You know, the
right,
real good
right.
thing.
The stuff that makes you just want to go, this is Steely Dan off of their album, Asia. Deacon Blue.
What man? What man?
So yeah, okay. this is again off the album that inspired the show tonight.
Yeah.
This is Steely Dan. Thanks, Danny.
Hey, this is always fun, and Steely Dan was really an interesting one, and I so enjoyed revisiting some of these songs, and I hope that everybody listening tonight did too.
I hope the Twins win next week.
It would be nice.
I hope they win one game between now and the end of the season.
That would also be very nice.
Yes. All right.
All right.
So, anyway.
call me Deacon Blue because we can't win a game.
Oh, folks. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys again next week. Peace.
Bye.
just don't.